Hello, Packer fans. Welcome to the Cheesehead TV postgame show here on CheeseheadTV.com. Packers lose a disappointing one today, 7-3 to the Detroit Lions. I guess it goes like this. No, the Packers are not eliminated from playoff contention. That being said, you can't feel confident in a team that loses to the Detroit Lions on the road heading into next week when they go to New England on the road. And I think that's where Packers fans are feeling right now. If you can't beat the Lions, how are you going to beat probably, arguably, the best team in the NFL in their own stadium? Now, should the Packers win out the rest of the season, including a win next week when you beat the NFL's best team? Yeah, there's life. I would say if the Packers win out, they probably do make the playoffs. But that is such a so far away, it seems, right now, that people can't see the forest through the trees. And nor should they. I mean, that is an assumption that the Packers could possibly win out. Not a given. Now, 1 week from now, if the Packers happen to beat the Patriots, things will seem a whole lot brighter. Beating, like I said, arguably the best team. But people aren't going to see it that way right now when you just lost to a 2-10 team coming into this game, if you're the Green Bay Packers. Couple things I think. The Packers can't win without Aaron Rodgers, I don't believe. Matt Flynn did okay, but is he going to lead this team to the postseason? No, I don't believe so. Second observation, the offensive line really did it for me today in that I don't really have a vote of confidence in the offensive line. I do in Josh Sitton, and I think Brian Bulaga can be good in the future. As for this year, he's still a rookie and is hot and cold. Chad Clifton is too far up there in age to be effective anymore. It really is. He doesn't deserve to be the top vote-getting tackle in the NFC. I don't understand where that's coming from. He does okay in pass protection, but can't run block worth anything. And the left guard situation is a joke, playing musical chairs there today. And Scott Wells is kind of almost in the same boat as Chad Clifton. Okay in the run blocking or pass blocking game, but you can't always get it done. Run blocking, I think the Packers do have to make some changes there in future seasons. And just kind of one more observation. Charles Woodson, I don't think, deserved a pay raise this year, the way he's been playing. Now, of course, this is hindsight. I'm coming into the season before even a game was played, coming off the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year award for last season. You know, I just sit here and say that to myself now, but you know, Charles Woodson has not been anything special for the Packers this year. Of course, he probably won a game for them earlier in the season against the Lions. But, you know, one game, I'm not sure, is totally worth it. And not that Charles Woodson doesn't deserve to be a high-play player. He does. I just don't think he was worth what the Packers invested in him in that contract extension that meant a pay raise. It seems like he's probably worth more, or his value is more what they had prior to the contract extension. So those are some off-the-cuff comments from me. As for what we're going to do on the post-game show, I'm going to recap the scoring, recap some of the individual statistics, and then we're going to open up the phone lines, break this game down, and analyze what happened to the Green Bay Packers today. Not going to take long to recap the scoring. First score of the game, doesn't come till the third quarter. Packers get on the board first. A Mason Crosby 42-yard field goal. It is good. Packers lead 3-0. And the only other score of the game, fourth quarter, with 8:04 left in the game, Will Heller gets a 13-yard pass from Drew Stanton. Touchdown, 7-3. Detroit Lions. The game ends that way, and that is your final score. As for some of the individual statistics for the Green Bay Packers today, Matt Flynn is 15 of 26 for 177 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, a quarterback rating of 62.5. Kind of a mixed bag on how Flynn performed today. Some people have low expectations to begin with, and considering he is the backup quarterback, thought he performed fairly well. That being said, the 0 touchdowns and 1 interception loom large. Can't direct the Packers to pay dirt. Directed them to a field goal, but that was it. Aaron Rodgers, not a whole lot better when he was in there. His completion percentage was slightly better. 7 out of 11 passes, 46 yards, 0 touchdown, 1 interception, passer rating of 34.7. Packers running game, almost non-existent. Aaron Rodgers is your leading rusher for the day. 2 carries for 25 yards. Brandon Jackson is your leader among running backs. 7 carries for 19 yards. So your Packers running backs can't even get, your best rusher didn't even get 20 yards on the day. Matt Flynn, 3 carries for 10 yards. It's James Starks, 6 for 8. And Dimitri Nance, 2 for 4. John Kuhn didn't even get a carry today. In the receiving department, Andrew Corliss is your leading receiver. 5 catches for 62 yards. But of course, his one fumble is what he'll be known for in this game more than anything else. Greg Jennings is your leading wide receiver, 4 catches for 52 yards. James Jones has 3 for 30. Jordy Nelson, 2 for 26. Dimitri Nance, 1 for 14. If I'm correct, that was Dimitri Nance's first reception on the season. Donald Driver, 2 catches for 12 yards. Brett Swain, 1 for 12. Brandon Jackson, 3 for 9. John Kuhn, 1 for 6. And that wraps up the Packers' individual statistics for the day. And with that, we'll open up the phone lines, folks, as you want to talk about what happened to the Packers today, how they're going to fare from here on out. Phone number, area code 646-797-2909. Once again, 646-797-2909. The phone lines are open. Feel free to call in, vent your frustrations. Hopefully we'll have a little catharsis session here for the Green Bay Packers. While I'm waiting for calls, the third down statistics, a little disappointing today. Packers convert only 2 of 12 third downs on the day. And it was just as ugly, even if not more so, for the Detroit Lions, only converting 3 of 15 third downs for the Lions. The Packers defense, by and large, did their job today. Unfortunately, they didn't get the job done when it mattered in the fourth quarter, when they gave up a long drive, time-consuming drive to the Detroit Lions. But the Packers, no better on third downs. And I had thrown out some statistics in the first half. Packers had an equal amount of third downs in the first half as they did in the second, six per half. The average third down distance in the first half was third and 12.1 yards to go. As you know, it's nearly impossible to convert consistently third downs of that length. Can you convert them once in a while? Sure. The Packers did in the fourth quarter when Matt Flynn hit James Jones on third and 11 on that final drive of the game for the Packers. But as for the larger picture, no, you're not going to convert third and 10 or longer. And really, that's a result of the offensive line, I think, coming back to them once again. You're giving up sacks. You're giving up runs that are going nowhere or losing yardage. And that's the culprit today, is the offensive line. Trying to look for the sack statistics. The Packers gave up 4 sacks on the day and 6 tackles for a loss. Of course, the sacks count as a tackle for a loss. They're not on top of that, but certainly not a good indicator of success if you are the Green Bay Packers. Trying to catch up here on some of the comments on the live blog here. I haven't checked them yet. Let's see. Abraham says the goats for the game, McCarthy and Jennings. You know, there is some McCarthy taking heat for a little bit of play calling today. I have a hard time personally putting the majority of the blame on Mike McCarthy. Certainly, he can be part of it. But I for me, it came down to the execution on the field. And yes, that drop by Greg Jennings certainly, as I said before, looms large now in what could have been a touchdown, or at the very least, a long pass of probably more than 40 yards that would have put the Packers in scoring position. For that to become an interception and really what was just an unlucky bounce, I mean, 9 times out of 10, that pass falls on the ground for an incompletion. But that's the way things go, I suppose. The tweets from McCarthy are coming in fast and furious. These ones that our directors are finding on Twitter. I don't know. For me, it's more on the offensive line than it is Mike McCarthy. I agree. The play calling wasn't always the best, but for me, it's the offensive line, because I think, you know, regardless of what the play calls are, all of a sudden you do have success on a play or two like that, and suddenly it's not the play calling. Taylor O'Neill writes, Why, when the short pass is working and you have timeouts, do you go for a home run on 4th and 1 with a backup quarterback? Agreed. I don't know why they would go deep. I think you just try to get your 1 yard, get your first down, and keep going there at the end of the game. You know, of course, they wanted to go for the dagger, as Wayne Larrivee would say. Want to go for the kill shot. That was the thinking, I suppose, at least from Matt Flynn. But what can you do now? And you know, I'm not entirely sure that play was entirely play calling. You know, obviously Greg Jennings is running the deep route. What was every player running the deep route? Did Matt Flynn just see Greg Jennings open and tried to go for it? I'm not sure. BK Shimada says, Lounge, I agree with you. Stupid, stupid, stupid decision by Rodgers not to slide. Aaron Rodgers suffering a concussion. His second one of the season. Have to wonder whether he'll be available next week. And I think, you know, another one of the play calling, one of the things people are criticizing with the play calling that I saw, at least on Twitter, is the play after Aaron Rodgers got concussed, if you will. The Packers took a timeout. You know, they wanted him to be in the game. But they go and call a pass then, the very next play. A play in which Rodgers is going to have to use his head a little, think a little, when they could have instead bought a little more time with running the ball. But chose not to instead. And it's hard to say whether that play came from the sideline or it was changed at the line or in the huddle. I would have to say, though, that was probably the call that came from the sideline, though. Cup Hound says, who gave us this O-line? McCarthy asked for bozos that were compatible with the zone blocking scheme, and voila, here they are. We can't coach this. That's a tough one there. As far as team building, I mean, Chad Clifton and Mark Tauscher were with the team before McCarthy was here even. And McCarthy has tried lately to get away from the zone blocking scheme and the lighter player on the offensive line in the past couple years, drafting players like Brian Laga and Jeff Sitton. But in between there, you've got guys like Scott Wells and Darren College. And I just think you have to move on from those guys eventually. I just think the larger picture, you can get away with them. But, I mean, you can get away with them for a game or two, or several. I just think for this to be a championship team, you don't get away with Scott Wells and Darren College and Chad Clifton even. I don't think you're a Super Bowl team with those guys on your offensive line. They're probably better than average, but barely better than average doesn't win Super Bowls. And that's what it comes down to. I think the right side of your offensive line is okay, but that's going to have to change in the future. Oppie comments, 15 rush attempts today. That's about par for the course this season. The running game certainly not having any success whatsoever. No matter who was carrying the ball for the Packers today, they weren't having any success, whether it be Brandon Jackson, whether it be James Starks, whether it be Dimitri Nance. But again, I don't blame all them, though. I put more of the burden on the offensive line if you are the Green Bay Packers. But I think most people would say it's disappointing to see after a game like last week when James Starks had such a degree of success to come out and barely average more than a yard a carry. I think people wanted to see better than that. Everybody did. CD and Jelly asks, at what point do we need to start worrying about Rodgers' future with all the concussions? This can be a career killer. Yeah, I mean, I you're worried right now because I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert here, but the more concussions a player gets, the the less encouraging it is. That's my unscientific reaction. So, I mean, you have to be concerned about Aaron Rodgers playing next week. And I definitely, with Aaron Rodgers, I think you can win at New England. Without him, I don't think they do. If Matt Flynn is the quarterback next week at New England, I don't think the Packers win, no matter how well the defense plays. He just doesn't have that experience that Aaron Rodgers has. And you can't blame him. I mean, any team, I mean, you put all your eggs in one basket with when you have a good starting quarterback. When you have a Drew Brees, a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, you name it. You put all your eggs into one basket and you hope they stay healthy. I mean, you try to get as good a backup as possible, but that's down the line of priorities. You just hope you luck out and have a good backup. I mean, none of those teams, those quarterbacks I just mentioned, you know, they're not going anywhere with their backup quarterbacks for the Colts, Saints, Patriots, things like that. Yeah, you can for a game, but not for a season, not for a playoff run. Found in Idaho says, Flynn did pretty damn well, considering. Yeah, I suppose. Matt Flynn did okay, considering. But I guess the bottom line is, that's not going to get you wins in the NFL. I think that's where people draw the line and draw the conclusion. Do you blame this loss on Matt Flynn? Hardly. Not at all. And we'll take a phone call. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, this is the Chief.
Chief, how are you, sir? Congratulations on getting on NFL Films or whatever it is on Showtime there. What show is it?
I think it's Inside the NFL. You know, it's on Showtime this Wednesday, but hey, you know, I want to talk about the Packers.
Feel free.
Hey, that's a nice little setup you get there. Is it, you got a green screen going on or what?
No green screen, just a nice little setup, I suppose.
Hey, well, you know, the Chief has been around a long time. And, you know, one guy I've seen around a long time is, you know, Chad Clifton out there. Today he was getting beat up, you know. And a couple times I thought I see him do a false start and, you know, the refs didn't call it. You know, I guess the refs have bad eyesight over in Detroit today.
Chad Clifton did get called for a false start today, at least, and giving up a sack as well. So he did not have the best game of his career, that's for sure. He made the Detroit Lions defensive line look pretty good.
Hey, Brian Caribou, can I get a Go Pack Go?
Go Pack Go, Chief.
All right, hey, you know, another thing is, I looked at Steve Young's old records or whatever, and, you know, he had 7 concussions that he reported, and, you know, he was done, so, you know, the Chief is getting kind of scared about Aaron Rodgers here, you know?
They are adding up, I guess we find out here, this upcoming week, the extent of this concussion, you know, just minutes and hours after it happens, we don't know how bad it is. He came back from his last concussion rather quickly earlier this season, But, you know, as they say, each one that happens gets a little more, you get a little more concerned. So I suppose we just play wait and see.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, you know. We're in the NFC North, you know. This is the big man division. You know, we drink Miller Lite and we deer hunt, you know. So let's hope he puts some extra padding on inside that helmet or something. So, but, hey, Mr. Caribou, good talking to you, man. Go Pack, go.
Fantastic.
And no victory Monday this week, so.
No victory
see you guys later.
Monday. Take care,
see
Chief.
See you on Showtime. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah. Fantastic having the Chief on. Everybody, check it out this upcoming Wednesday, Inside the NFL on Showtime, sometime in the evening. Maybe the Chief can put up on the live blog what time exactly that show comes on. But that's fantastic that that's happening to the Chief. Everybody in Cheesehead TV, all our readers that are associated with it, we love it. And now that the Chief is off, that opens up a phone line here at Cheesehead TV, 646-797-2909. Whatever you want to talk about, we can continue the conversation. Perhaps if we're going to look at the good side, we can talk a little bit about the defense and even about the special teams. Special teams didn't lose the game for the Packers. You'd have to say the specialists did pretty well. Tim Maste had himself a decent game. It's a shame he had to punt so much. And Mason Crosby doing fine on a 42-yard field goal. Again, not getting any more attempts than the one field goal is a disappointment as well. But as far as special teams go, but I suppose, you know, special teams was kind of a non-factor overall. You know, it's they did fine, but they didn't contribute to a loss, but they didn't contribute to a win either. And I suppose that's all we say about the special teams today. Comment here. Oppie says, Quarless fumble was pretty much insignificant. It wasn't in the red zone and it resulted in no points for the Lions. The Packers had how many turnovers today? I believe they had three. They had two interceptions and one fumble. And, were they crucial? No, because they didn't end up leading to points for the Detroit Lions. Like they say, the Corliss one didn't. But it didn't help either. Had Corliss not fumbled that, you never know what happens. The Packers could go on, they could score, and two scores in this game would be the difference between a win and a loss. If that second score, I suppose, was a touchdown. So while one turnover is not a killer, when you add them all up and you have three turnovers on the day and you have a negative one turnover margin, you know, that's the nail in the coffin. The Packers had done so well coming into this game for the past month, for the past 5 weeks or so, not turning the ball over. Aaron Rodgers hadn't thrown an interception for five straight games coming into this week. Packers running backs have not had a fumble the entire season. A fumble lost, I should say. They have had fumbles, but have recovered them. And, you know, they just add up. They just add up. Aaron Rodgers had one. Matt Flynn had one. Andrew Corliss had one. Taking another phone call. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, how you doing? This is Jared Ash from Illinois.
How you doing, Josh?
I don't know. What I noticed today was that I think the loss of Cohen Jenkins just really hurt the Packers. I know the defense played very well, but you know they racked up. I think it was almost 200 yards of rushing against us. And I think not having Cohen Jenkins in there really affected that.
Yeah, and not just in the running game either. I mean, he has an element of pass rush as well. And the Packers definitely didn't have much of a pass rush without him. Yeah, they kind of got a couple sacks there. The one by Clay Matthews was nice, and there was one by Ryan Pickett when Stanton ran out of bounds that probably shouldn't even be counted as a sack. But anyway, yes, they did miss Cullen Jenkins.
I also noticed that Dombo went down during a point in the game, and we had Eric Walden in.
Yeah,
I mean. And I got to ask you this. What do you think was bigger, the Greg Jennings drop or McCarthy not challenging the Jennings touchdown that should have been?
Okay, I do have an opinion on this. I do not think that was a touchdown. Now, that being...
Did he trap the ball or... I wasn't sure on that.
Here's what I think is I can give even people the benefit of the doubt that it was questionable, but... For me, there wasn't enough evidence. They didn't have a close enough shot for me, zoomed in, for me to be able to make that judgment. And as everybody knows with reviews, if there's not enough evidence, the play just stands as called. And I think Mike McCarthy did the right thing by sending the field goal unit out there and just getting points. And so that's my take on the possible touchdown that there wasn't enough evidence.
Yeah, and also I disagree with Opie saying that Corliss fumble wasn't crucial. Or that was in the red zone. Either way, you're taking off points for us.
Yeah, it's costly. Every turnover is costly, no matter what. You look at it in hindsight, and it didn't lead to points for the Lions. But, they all add up. They all add up. So, Josh, thanks for calling. Checking in from Illinois, from Bear Country. So, we appreciate it.
You're doing a good job.
Thanks a lot. See ya. Make sure you give the Bear fans hell there in Illinois, Josh. Checking in with the live blog again. C.D. Angeli says, just because Jennings does his best Bill Schrader impression doesn't mean he was right. Bill Schrader, always kind of the guy who... would show visible frustration with things like catches when he would catch the ball. He would make it known. So I think it was a good job by McCarthy not caving into a challenge there. And on Twitter, I got several replies. I probably would say five of them saying that they thought the Packers should have reviewed that. You know, and I think we ran a poll on our live blog here whether the Packers should have challenged it or not. And most with those challenge plays, I stopped the poll afterwards as I just try to capture the moment in time. But I think it was about 60-40. I thought 60% of the people thought it was incomplete and 40% thought it was a touchdown. Tundra Vision. Is Brian Kirwood doing a post-game show? I need to yell at someone. Don't yell at me. I'm just the messenger. Packers RS says, we have two strengths, the receivers and the QB. You need to play accordingly. You cannot run to set the pass. You just can't. You need to spread them out. Except that the Packers did spread them out on the first 3rd-and-1 of the game, And that was another one of the play calls for which McCarthy just got reamed on in seeing the initial reaction. And that's why I can't get all over Mike McCarthy, though. I tend to agree with, you know, so he spread him out on 1/3-and-1 play. You can't ram it down the throat every time on 3rd-and-1. You can't hand it off to John Kuhn every 3rd-and-1 and pound it in there. I mean, if the Packers come out and spread them out, the big five, every 3rd-and-1, yeah, I'd have a problem with that. But it was one play. And the Packers, as they say, as the comment just went, you know, they're a pass-first team. They always said one of the strengths of the team is the quarterback. But I think that's only with Aaron Rodgers in the game. I'm not blaming Matt Flynn, but I don't think you can win with him. And I definitely, any of the rest of the games for this year against tough defenses, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in Matt Flynn. Just the experience isn't there. Aaron Rodgers says, I would give it to Kuhn 3rd-and-1 every time. See, the problem with that, you saw it last week. Yes, it was successful. Every time John Kuhn got the ball on 3rd-and-1, it was like 5 times. And I realize that they had a lot of success, but you just can't do it all the time because teams pick up on that. You can get away with that in one game, doing it 5 times. But you can't do it all the time. People are really mad about the last play call here, though, and going for it deep. 4th-and-1. Packer West says it was 2nd-and-1 and 2 incomplete passes. Get the first down. Oppie says as risky and 4th-and-1 was, it was literally inches from being a game-winning play that is celebrated. Illinois Pack fan giving us a update here. The Bears fumble the kickoff, but they get it back. After the show's done, I gotta watch that game. That should be interesting. And the weather that they're having in the Midwest. Is it still snowing there? It's not snowing in Wisconsin anymore. At least where I am. Quite a storm we had. Overnight, though, wasn't it? See some comments from the presser here. Adam Check says how McCarthy was hard on himself in the post-game comments. JI711 says McCarthy said he didn't do a very good job today. At least he realizes that he had a dud of a performance out there. And the tweets just continue to roll in about the play calling. Illinois Pack fan says it's snowing like crazy here. I suppose it's out of Wisconsin and on to Illinois, or at least, you know, I'm a little bit further west, so maybe it's pushed out of the area just around here. All right, let's talk about the positives today. Let's talk about the defense a little bit. How well the defense played, really only giving up 1 score the entire game. And as demoralizing as that was, we just got to take a look at some of the statistics here to see how well the Packers defense played. The Lions were 3 of 15 in converting 3rd downs. 0 of 1 in converting fourth downs. But, well, of course, I suppose that that fourth down was the last play of the game when they tried that long pass just to run out the clock, so I suppose that doesn't really matter much. The Lions only averaging 4.4 yards per pass. So they basically stopped the passing game cold. Drew Stanton, 10 out of 22 today, 117 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, a passer rating of 39.4. And the time of possession, just about equal. You know, a lot of times it was the bend but don't break defense that's just been the Packers' calling card all season long. Yeah, they gave up some yards on the ground, but for the most part, they kept the Lions out of the end zone. Kelvin Johnson only had 1 catch on the entire day. Yeah, it went for 44 yards, but that is one impressive wide receiver, and to hold him for only 1 catch is pretty good. Once again, Tremont Williams doing a fantastic job keeping up his fantastic season. I don't know if there's a player playing better in the entire NFL this season than Tremont Williams. I could go that far. He has the interception. He's breaking up deep passes for Kelvin Johnson. Just a solid job all around. He is amazing, and he doesn't get enough credit for it. I thought Charlie Peppra had a heck of a game today. I know that one interception came right to him, and that was, you know, wasn't a exceptional play by any stretch of the imagination. But he really got involved in the run game from time to time, playing in the box, making plays behind the line of scrimmage, or at the line of scrimmage. Doing a pretty good job. Trying to catch up here again on some of the comments. Picking up on some of the tweets about Tremont Williams. Butler did it, says, I gotta say, Tremont Williams has improved a lot this year. Mr. Lega comments, Tremont Williams has done his thing all year. I shouldn't try to put my own accent on it. I just sound foolish. Aunt Davis 47 says, Tremont Williams out there strapping Kelvin Johnson. Brad Gizzle says, Tremont Williams is a beast on punt returns. And we commented on the last Railbird Central on Tremont Williams on punt returns and how he just does a solid job all season long, has been all season long. You know, he just makes smart decisions back there. He doesn't exactly look fantastic. He's Tremont Williams, never anymore, at least, looks like he's going to break a long one. But he catches the ball. He makes fair catches when he has to. And that's all you can ask for, I think. You know, yes, it's a risk putting him back there, but I just think it would be counterproductive to put anybody else back there right now. Packers RS says, Tremont Williams completely blanketed Kelvin Johnson, so why was Woodson on him? I would have to watch the film to answer that definitively, but I think, it just happened to be plays when Kelvin Johnson was in the slot. I mean, that's what Charles Woodson does in the nickel. He plays whoever is in the slot, no matter who the wide receiver is. You know, it's not one of those things where they just man up on a person. Whoever is in the slot, that's Charles Woodson's man, and that's why he was on him a couple times, including the big long pass that was completed. Found in Idaho, Charlie Pepper, the best thing Jason Wilde has ever been right about. Charlie Pepper has been good this season. You know, not a Pro Bowl good, but better than anybody ever could have imagined, at least. Shari59 says, Driver is looking rough to me. Wonder about his health. Yeah, I mean, Donald Driver made such a statement last week. You know, he goes and has that touchdown where he breaks three tackles and dives into the end zone with four other guys hanging on to him practically. And I think that really gained back a lot of confidence among fans in Green Bay. But prior to that game, you know, Driver had sat out two games this year. Been held without a catch in two games this year. He didn't sit out two entirely. He sat out one game entirely and came out early in another game, I believe. But, I mean, today he only has 12 catches for, or I'm sorry, two catches for 12 yards, I think it was. Or, you know, it wasn't very much. But there was one point, it was midway through the third quarter, and the Packers' wide receivers, none of them had more than one catch midway through the third quarter. So you talk about the Packers, the strength of the team being the wide receivers. Well, midway through the third quarter, none of them had more than one catch. And granted, Andrew Corliss had more, and Brandon Jackson had more, but Greg Jennings didn't, arguably having the best season on the of any player on the team, arguably. Like I said, my vote might be for Tremont Williams, but Greg Jennings is in the discussion at least. Packers RS asked how many times Driver was targeted today. And if I could find its statistics here. Donald Driver was targeted 9 times today. Wow. That is interesting. He had the most targets of any player on the team. 9 targets, only 2 catches. That is quite the stunning statistic. Greg Jennings, 8 targets, only 4 catches. So both those players, your number one and number two wide receivers on the team, catching less than 50% of their targeted passes. And that's not to put all the blame on the wide receivers. I mean, when a pass goes over their head, I mean, that's not Donald Driver's fault, or it's behind them, or it's in the ground, which happened several times. But yeah, 9 targets and only 2 catches for Donald Driver. That is a stunning statistic. Green Bay blog says, think about it. Green Bay had 3 decent scoring opportunities. 1, Jennings bobble for the INT. 2, Jennings can't make the diving catch in the end zone. Leads to a field goal. And 3, Flynn's inexcusable pick in the end zone. That's at least 6 points off the board in a 4-point loss. Oppy asks, how many of those targets on Donald Driver were from Rodgers and how many from Flynn? I don't know, Oppy. I would have to go back and break the film down to get that breakdown. I'm just going by what I'm looking these stats up on ESPN.com that anybody could see. And that's just what it said. Jamie Jorris says, when the quarterback is rushed and the play's timing is off, it's hard to make those catches. And again, we're coming back to the quarterback being rushed, and whose fault is that? It's the offensive line. You know, I think we're almost going in circles here. You know, coming back to the offensive line once again, and I think the biggest blame falls with them. Maybe if we would here, put a poll up. How many people think the Packers are going to get into the playoffs? If the Packers will qualify for the playoffs? Like to see the percentage on that. And I don't want to sway anyone one way or the other. We'll just throw up that poll and see what people's initial reaction is here. How much of a vote of confidence they actually get. Do you think the Packers will qualify for the playoffs? If somebody would throw that up there. And it would take quite the effort by the Packers. You know, like I said, they probably have to win out. You know, I suppose mathematically, we don't know that yet. But, do we have a director getting on the polls here? Am I the only one here with that capability right now? Here, I'll try to throw up the poll, but you'll have to bear with me here. I can only do so many things at one time. As I type this in here. There we go. Will the Packers make the playoffs? And split 50-50 here. It's pretty close to 50-50. 55% say yes. No, there we go. It was 50-50. Right at the end there. And that poll just comes up again. But interesting to see what Cheesehead Nation thinks of the Packers' chances. The second time around, it was a little better than 50%. Although I'm not sure everybody voted the second time around again. But anyhow. It's this whole thing with the Vikings is really throwing a wrench into the Packers' playoff chances. So here we go. One of the teams the Packers are competing for a playoff spot, is the New York Giants. So instead of the Giants getting a true road game, they now get a neutral site game tomorrow night. As I'm sure everybody has heard of by now, the Vikings will be taking on the Giants in Detroit, the same place the Packers played today. On a neutral field. So that's working in their favor. By the game being pushed back a day already to begin with, even before the collapse of the roof, the Vikings also had one less day to prepare for their upcoming game against the Chicago Bears next week. Also not helping the Packers any. So here you are, not only, this is really hurting the Packers 2 weeks, two consecutive weeks, this week and next week. So, this will give Packers fans all the ammunition they need to hate the Vikings even more. this whole Vikings thing is just really interesting to me in that I think this will be a watershed moment in the Vikings franchise history. I think this will be the impetus to either get a new stadium or not. It will be interesting to see whether the public will help the Vikings get a new stadium. And so far, they have shown that they won't. And if they don't get a new stadium, these could be the Los Angeles Vikings pretty soon. And how would Packer fans feel about that? I mean, as much as you hate the Minnesota Vikings, do you want to see them in Los Angeles? Do you really kind of want to break up what makes the NFC North what it is? I mean, there's something about the NFC North, these upper Midwest teams. You know, I know two of them play in domes, but there's kind of an identity there. You know, the towns themselves are cold weather places. And I think that would really be a shame to break that up, to have the Vikings head out west. I think it would be amazing if the public did get behind a new Viking stadium and would end up helping them out and getting an outdoor stadium. But I don't think that's going to happen. Do I think the Metrodome will be fixed? Boy, I have no clue. I mean, everybody by now has seen that video of the roof collapsing. And that is one huge rip in the Metrodome roof. I don't know how you fix something like that. I'm no expert. I don't know who is. You can't take a needle and thread something like that. I don't know how you fix a roof of something of that size and of that material. So I have no clue what the future of the Minnesota Vikings is beyond this week. We already know they're playing the road game tomorrow in Detroit. As for longer than that, no clue. Whether they could end up playing next week in the University of Minnesota Stadium, I suppose that's a possibility. I would tend to say they probably would, actually, just so they can get a home game and they have time to prepare for it. You know, the reason they didn't do it this week is because the Giants weren't ready for a road game. They came to Minnesota planning to play in a dome. You know, I'm sure they didn't bring any cleats with them, or at least their outdoor shoes and warm clothes for that matter. So, but you know, that they certainly could play a road game next week. The Bears could at whatever, something Bank Stadium. I don't even know what it's called. Jersey Pack fan says, will people even go to that game tomorrow? Which is interesting. General admission for that game is free. For anybody that's in the greater Detroit area, the Vikings-Giants game tomorrow is free. And that's really the only way you can do it. You just hope to make a little bit of money on perhaps parking or concessions. I mean, because nobody in Detroit's going to pay to go to that game. But now that you make it free, there might be some people showing up, I suppose, to check out the neutral site game. It reminded me of the Milwaukee Brewers have actually hosted a couple neutral site games back during Hurricane Ike. They hosted the Cubs and I forget who they played, the Houston Astros. And Carlos Zambrano threw a no-hitter, if you remember that, in Miller Park. And then just, was it this past season or was it 2 seasons ago? There was early season snow in Cleveland, and they hosted the Cleveland Indians. So it just reminded me of those, that type of environment. Oppie comments here. I've worked on roofs like that. It's probably a thermoplastic roofing system. It's actually potentially a quick fix if that's the case. Very interesting, Oppie, that you have familiarity with the domes and roofs of that matter. But anyhow, folks, we're going to wrap it up here on the Cheesehead TV post-game show for today. Thanks for joining us. I know everybody's down in the dumps, and the playoff outlook is looking bleak for the Packers, but it's hard to say where the Packers go from here. We just play the wait-and-see game, as I say. You see how Aaron Rodgers bounces back from his concussion. And if he does, the Packers do have a chance at New England next week. And all could be forgotten. Just remember that, folks. If the Packers win at New England next week, you'll be feeling a whole lot better. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for joining us, everyone. For everyone here at Cheesehead TV, Corey Benke, Jamie Jors, Aaron Nagler, Alex Talich, Holly Phelps, thanks for watching. Take care. Make sure to come back again later. See ya.